Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Very pleased to have back with us today for his quarterly appearance here on Straight Talk, a guy known as the Business Coach, Russell White. And if you want to find out more about Russell White, you can listen to him every Friday on WRHI. He's been doing this for, what did we say, 15 years?
15 or 16 years,
15
yeah.
News count, right? And he also, you can go to his website, russellwhite.com. So this is an interesting topic that probably will raise a little bit of hair on the back of your neck once you get to it. But it's all about strategies for small business to survive in socialism. Now, you might ask why we're doing this. Well, let's take a look at what's happened here in just the last couple of weeks. We have elected a self-professed socialist, some people call him a communist, in New York, called Mondani. And in Seattle, we just elected a lady who is also a self-professed socialist slash communist. So I don't know where this is all heading in this country, but here we go.
Well, I think it's interesting. A lot of people have been asking, they're talking with me about, like, well, how did we get here? Well, the fact of the matter is, I mean, I guess we heard during the shutdown that we had 42 million people that were not going to get their SNAP benefits. That's 42 million people that are in a socialist receivership on that. And then I found out that we also have 70 million people, one out of five people in this country, are enrolled in Medicaid, not Social Security, not Medicare. Medicaid. Ooh. So we are already have 20% of the country that is following along on socialism. Now, you talk to a lot of young people and you ask, why are they so supportive of this movement? And the answers that I've been reading and hearing about is, one is a fear of massive layoffs with AI. They're talking about how AI is going to eliminate hundreds of thousands of jobs. What are we going to do for a living? So capitalism isn't going to work for us. Second thing is they feel that the capitalism system is rigged against just regular people. You have to be rich for it to work for you. And that's their mentality. The other thing that's really changed is the message that billionaires and millionaires are really bad people. And the only way they got that way was stealing money from everybody else. We used to have a thought that the American dream was to work hard and achieve and try to elevate yourself to that level. And now that level is seen as bad people. You don't want to be part of those folks, and they are what's wrong with the world. So that's a completely 180-degree flip on that. Now, there's an also belief that, I mean, work, if I have to work 40 hours a week, that gets in the way of my life.
Hello?
So it gets away from the important things in my life. So I don't want to work that much. I don't want the stress from work. I want to just focus on what I call the important things in life. Unfortunately, I say unfortunately, as a capitalist myself, I find that just really an alien thinking, and I'm not quite sure how I understand where they come up with that. But in fact, that is what's there. And I mean, the largest city in this country is now going to be managed by a socialist. The largest state in this country, arguably, is already in a socialism way in some of the rules and regulations and the processes that they have in California. So cities like Chicago, they already have, we want to tax the rich and fleece big corporations. Seattle, as you said, just elected a socialist. Portland, Minneapolis. I mean, it's going on and on and on. So this is not just something new. It's reached a critical point, but it's been going on for quite a while.
So in Chicago, I had an item this morning on Palmetto Mornings where people who live in the city are starting to protest the level of taxation inside the city because major corporations, Boeing and others, have left the downtown. That created a bunch of vacancies, right? And so there's not the tax revenue coming in because the commercial sector has left. It's being thrown on the backs of the average person.
Well, I don't know if you're aware that the Texas Stock Exchange starts next year. There is a new Texas Stock Exchange that they're saying that, I love this term, I heard that Wall Street's going to be replaced by Y'all Street. which I really thought was a great term. So did you know that Goldman Sachs has more employees in Texas than in New York City?
Did not.
They are also building an 880,000 square foot facility that will be open in 2028. They know what's coming. So what's going to happen when the financial center leaves New York? Then they lose their tax base. I did a little bit of research on Seattle now that they have elected this socialist mayor who is also, let's go after corporations, let's hit the tax base. Here are the companies that have a headquarter in Seattle right now: Amazon, Microsoft, Costco, Starbucks, Boeing, Apple, Google.
Jeez.
Do you think they're going to stay? They can go anywhere they want in this country. I predict that all eight of those entities are going to work on a strategy to move.
I mean, my God, we've seen just here in South Carolina, Boeing, they've set up a huge footprint down in Charleston.
Well, here's the thing. If Boeing needs to leave Seattle and find a more business-friendly state, there aren't that many better than South Carolina where they already have a presence.
Yeah.
So this could be a great benefit to us in the short term.
So this, be careful what you're thinking you want, because the repercussions could be disastrous.
Well, Margaret Thatcher has the greatest quote on socialism, that the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
That's right.
And what's happening is these other people, and this comment that I hear thrown around a lot about paying their fair share, they're already paying over 50% of the entire tax revenue. So I'm not sure what is their fair share. But when you continue to go after people that have the wherewithal to be at the elite, at the top end, they also have that flexibility to relocate on a personal basis as well as a business basis. Again, if I am CEO of Costco and I've got a much more favorable environment in a different state, the cost to relocate will be significant, but not as significant as the benefit from the tax change. So I really see that there's going to be tremendous upheaval in this country. And unfortunately, I don't see socialism going away. I think it's going to grow because of the younger generation having these attitudes that I'm talking about, the fear of what's coming and the fact that they have been educated, indoctrinated, whatever you want to say, about how capitalism is no longer a good system for them. Now, if you remember back in September, I did talk about how the capitalism system is broken. We do have a broken capitalism system. It's more of a locust economy where they're just trying to scoop everything all they can and then move on to the next fertile environment. So we need some adjustments in capitalism, but I think the younger generation have already made the decision. We want socialism. The problem with socialism is once it takes a hold, you really can't get back out of it. That's the danger that I see.
And have we ever had a country anywhere in the world that has managed to live long under socialist rule?
Well,
look at Cuba.
There will be European examples that people will throw out there. So I have a friend of mine that I stay in touch with in Italy. And Italy has been somewhat of a socialist country. The problem with that is there's no growth. There's no opportunity. There's no desire to be an entrepreneur. There is no incentive to innovate. And so it's a very stagnant economy. Now, if you remember, they just elected a new leader that is a very conservative, strong capitalist person. So I think they're trying to shift that. But when people have spent generations not having to work hard, getting used to this kind of the government takes care of me, that's a quantum shift mentally. So, and this is where I say, as socialism comes, I mean, there's some big differences for business owners than a capitalist environment.
And let us not forget, for all of those who think they're being screwed by millionaires and billionaires, I believe the number is something like 80% of the tax revenue that comes into this country is from the top 10% or something, top 15% of wage earners. They're the ones that are paying the tax bill.
Well, the other thing is 80% of the millionaires are self-made.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't inheritance. It wasn't like the family holding their money or, hoarding their money and taking advantage of other people. These are 80% of the millionaires in this country are people that created from scratch their own wealth, which is the American dream, which is still alive. Unfortunately, the messaging has turned that those are just bad people.
Well, we're not getting any help in this whole issue from the national media. They don't do anything to tell you anything about what's really going on. Don't tell you about the families who have toiled and sweated for generations, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, to build their business and get to where they wanted to get to in this world.
And nobody talks about the risk reward.
Yes, exactly.
You know, for every one restaurant that survives 5 years, 19 did not.
Ooh.
I will say that again. For every one restaurant that survived 5 years, 19 did not. So,
ouch.
Why did that 5% survive? It wasn't luck. It wasn't just because their family told them this is how to do it. It was the 5% that figured it out.
Yeah.
And that's the risk reward. I mean, and that's where capitalism, nobody talks about that part too. Because if you take all the risk, I believe you should get all the reward.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
I think so.
Yeah, okay. All right, so where do we go from here?
Well, the key difference is between the capitalist environment versus, let's say we're under socialism. Profit becomes nothing. You know, that's a secondary issue. The primary drive is community well-being and you know, your social contribution. So profit for shareholders is down further down the list. The second thing is it's shared authority. You don't get to own your business. You have a collective. So you have a collective employee-owned or government-directed on how you run your business and what direction you can take your business.
Let's see. I won't go over here. Mr. Reinhart, you owe me 25% of your business. Can I pick that up this afternoon?
I'm not a good partner.
And so, but that's what shared authority means. It means that you're an entrepreneur. You've put in the sweat equity. You've taken the risk. Now you've created this entity that is of value. And the government is going to say, well, now you are more of a property of the community. So therefore, we will dictate how you grow, where you grow, who you employ, who your suppliers are, and how you share the money with your employees.
Does anybody hear the word China? Does anybody hear the word China or Russia or this is how you operate?
This is exactly
and
right.
That's why
and you
they're
talk
starving.
To people that have immigrated from those countries, they're in shock that we're even considering this in this country. The access to capital is another thing. Right now, your capital is kind of based on your financial health of your business or as the proprietor. When it comes to access to capital, the government decides whether you get it and whether you don't. And it's all based on social utility, not really the direction of your operation. I'm going to use an example. There is a light rail system in California that has been tried to get off the ground for 10 years. They have one section built, and it's already – that goes nowhere, and it's already double the cost that they originally thought it would be. That's what happens when the government builds this bureaucracy and the red tape to get capital. You can't grow your business. If you want to be responsible as a small business owner and you want to act at the opportunity, let's say Boeing comes into town and they want to open up a facility here in Rock Hill, and therefore we have a whole bunch of people that say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be able to help that, but I need an infusion of capital to grow my business to support that. 3 years later, when the government says yes, it's too late. And so that's where the socialism access to capital, it just bogs things down. That's why you don't get innovation. That's why you don't get growth. This is the other thing that I'm going to kind of talk about, banging up the hair on the back of people's neck. There's no labor wage in socialism. It's a socialist economy. The business owner does not hire employees, does not decide pay. The community decides the pay and where the profits are going to go and how they will be distributed.
You know, I've had the pleasure of doing a program here a couple of times with a fella that is pretty well known in this community called Tibby Sente, a guy who fled from socialism in his country, left his kids, left his wife, finally went back and got them to escape what was happening. When he arrived in this country and he was living in California, he lived there for a number of years, raised his kids there, went to college there, what have you, and he came to South Carolina because he said, I fled socialism and risked my life, and I'm not going to be in California, which is doing the exact same thing that they were doing in Austria.
And Romania. New York City is going to be that way. Chicago is going to be that way. Seattle's going. That's what I'm saying. We are the socialism is not just this one situation in New York City. We have reached a critical point where it became noticed, but it's been going on for a while, and it is growing, especially in the younger generations, and that is a huge challenge for people that want to maintain the capitalism. It's going to be a challenge.
We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break, and I promise you we're going to have maybe some positive news out of all of this as we continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So we are here at the one and the only Substation 2 and Cherry Road in Rock Hill. What we do here is fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week. I know this guy can read. He's got glasses on. So you can participate. At the count of three, we're all going to say the white letters together. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
When your life includes joint pain, doing the things you love can be a challenge. Don't let joint pain stand in your way. Located close to home, our Piedmont Medical Center orthopedic teams specialize in surgical and non-surgical solutions. From minimally invasive robotic options to physical rehabilitation, our Rock Hill and Fort Mill teams strive to find the right treatment options for you. Imagine life without pain. Take the first step. Find care close to home at piedmontmedicalcenter.com/ortho.
Introducing two new high-speed internet options. Comporium has created two new levels of service that give you access to fast, reliable internet for a remarkably low monthly price. Whether you prefer the light or the essential plan, you can do everything you want online without spending too much. Prices start at $29.94 per month for light internet, and essential internet is under $50. Both plans offer fast internet and free virus protection. Call Comporium today to sign up. 833-619-1848.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Russell White, the business coach, who you can hear every Friday on WRHI throughout the day with his program called The Business Coach. How about that? It's a novel idea. So we're sitting here talking about socialism. And how you survive as a small business. Talk to me a little bit about what you see as the impact here on South Carolina.
Well, as the things are changing in some of these large cities, there's going to be a lot of migration. And South Carolina is one of the top four states in the country of influx of people. So there's some benefit that we will be able to attract businesses. I think this is a great opportunity for economic development to call out to some of these businesses and these people that are looking for a business-friendly headquarters, such as Boeing, who's already have an established entity here in South Carolina. The other thing, though, with migration trends, you do get a mix of people. And the folks that voted for some of these blue Democratic kind of policies are going to be moving to South Carolina. Unfortunately, they maintain those same types of policies in their thinking. So it could turn South Carolina a little purple from a political standpoint. So the key is we've got to make sure that we incorporate and teach the South Carolina way, I guess, for a better term.
Well, and keep in mind, for those who are migrating down here, we welcome everybody. Come on down here. But remember, you're moving here for a reason. And the reason is not to change where you're coming to. You need to adapt to where you're coming to.
And I think the economic competition, New York, let's face it, is still a huge impact on business all across the country. So even though New York City is going to change, it's going to impact South Carolina businesses as it will the rest of the country as well.
All right. Anything else you see in terms of South Carolina?
No, I think short term, it's a great benefit. We should take the opportunity to bring in some more businesses.
Okay. So we've outlined a big black picture for the first half of the show. So the whole idea is what can we tell small businesses as to what they should be thinking about doing to survive in this growing world of socialism?
Well, I'm going to be just real honest. If you have owned your business in a capitalist society for decades, there may be a time for you to not be able, you may not be able to make the mental shift into this kind of environment. So it may be time to consider selling your business over the next 5 to 10 years. I'm being just honest with that. But if you are, if you want to, if you're a young business person, if you're a new entrepreneur and you want to really embrace this, then some of the strategies that you can have is you want to focus on social utility rather than maximizing private profit. A lot of people talk about how they want to be part of the community. They want to really have this social outreach. And younger folks, since that is their mentality, I think that is a business value that they want to preach. That will bring in good employees for you of like minds, and you will be thinking in that mindset, so you can get a step up on the other companies that may be coming a little bit later. Another thing would be worker-owned cooperatives. You don't have to be a business owner. You don't have to be the boss. You can just convert to a worker-owned cooperative where all employees share control. They share the decision-making power. I mean, it's a structure that is very much encouraged in socialized systems. There's a challenge to that, obviously. And when you have too many chefs in the kitchen, it's hard to put the dish out, right? So, I mean, the challenge with a collective is you can't please everybody. I mean, Congress is a collective, and we've demonstrated how that doesn't really work very well, as opposed to having someone that can drive forward. The big challenge that we didn't get to talk about a lot of is government regulations so restrictive.
And they will ramp up under socialism.
That's what I say. Under socialism, it's so restrictive. They set your pricing. They will set your wage. They will even set on how you grow and where you grow. Or if you want to open a new business and they say, all right, yeah, honestly, we have enough restaurants in this community. We're not going to give you capital. Find another idea. So you won't be able to necessarily just do what you want to do. So if you're going to be a small business owner in socialism, then you've got to understand how to navigate the labor laws and the government restrictions. There is a little loophole in all of this. If you are a sole proprietor and you decide that as an accountant, you want to be an accountant, as an attorney, you want to be an attorney and not have a full office, you have much more flexibility because you don't have labor. You don't have as much profit awareness because you are a sole proprietor. So that's also another reason that I see AI can really help this, is you have AI employee services and you maintain your sole proprietorship. I think that's a very good approach for the small businesses that want to do it that way.
Well, keep in mind, AI, for all its wonders that it's going to bring to the table for business and for people, it's still a machine. It's a machine, and keep in mind who runs the machine, a human being. And you may roll your eyes at that, Russell White, which is fine. You can roll them all you want, but I'll maintain that all that, you know, that big old machine is exactly that. It's a machine.
I believe AI is going to change society like electricity did. You can quote that. You can quote that. It is going to be a quantum shift.
I'm not arguing that.
And it will rewrite how we run a business.
But it'll make all of us smarter because we will want to explore frontiers that even AI hasn't thought about
it. And I think that's a positive. I mean, I'm not saying AI is negative. I'm just saying there is a way to use that under a socialism environment because you don't have the collective. You can still be the person, and your collective is the AI. I know that sounds a little science fiction, but I'm just being honest on some of the things that are out there that can work. Community engagement and accountability, I think, is actually one of the benefits that socialism brings that capitalism should borrow. And what I mean by that is I think building strong relationships in the community, they're very important. I think getting to know your local government is very important. I think that's really important. So small businesses should be engaged in the community anyhow. Accountability to that community, I think, is something that's, again, I think that's a positive. If that is something that comes out of socialism, we shouldn't wait. I think a small business owner, if you are a savvy small business owner, you're already doing these kinds of things.
So do you think a small business would want to, I don't know, maybe with somebody with some extra dollars would want to invest in a new business?
No.
That is going to be, no, I didn't think
no,
so.
No, and see, that's the challenge, it may be illegal. and what I mean by that is if you have investment money, the government has to approve that. A socialist government does not want private equity. They do not want wealthy investors and stockholders. They want a collective. The community owns, the government controls. And so innovation, which costs millions and millions and millions of dollars, what's the benefit? If the result is everybody owns it, I'm not taking that risk. So that becomes a bit of a challenge.
So what you're basically telling us is that you need to get ready because this trend is starting to move across the country of socialism. Is something you need to be ready to adapt to as a small business owner.
I believe that socialism will be the majority within 10 years.
Woo!
I do. I think that will be the majority thought within 10 years because in the next 10 years, the older generation will be moving on, which is a lot of people, and the younger generation is fully embracing this concept right now until they have reasons not to. And we know that any kind of city can dictate how the news is controlled and how the message is handled on whether they were successful or not.
So they better be aware of what they are hoping for because there are going to be some drawbacks to this. I mean, you've referenced the fact there's going to be oversight on what you're doing. You know, the government's going to tell you what you can and what you cannot do.
I think the biggest challenge is actually if you can't maintain your profits. As a small business owner, we all know that business is very cyclical. And in the good years, you want to harvest good money, good profits, but you hold those in reserves for when the bad years hit to smooth that out so you can still pay people. Under socialism, what do you do? I mean, if the good years are there and you can't hold it, then the bad years means the government's going to pay employees. You don't really own your business.
And then, of course, you're going to get into a whole thing about labor laws and workers' rights.
Yes, yes. It's going to be significant. And again, I think as a capitalist, I would have a very, very hard time rewiring my brain to run a business under that system. But if you are a young person coming along and you like this system, then this is the way you build that business. Finding niches and real differentiation for your business can help you move forward. But again, you never are an entrepreneur. You're always under the control of others.
And you can expect higher taxation, just as sure as we're sitting here.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. Businesses are taxed, but the heck of it is it's not necessarily going to be just taxed, because if your profit is determined on who gets it, you don't have any profits to be taxed on. Your profits are distributed.
Profit redistribution. Oh, my God.
We laugh, and it's frightening, and we can't believe that would happen in America. But I also find it hard to believe that all these cities are electing socialists. They're not hiding it.
A lot of it has to do, and we just referenced this a moment ago, is we have a very uninformed society. They don't know what's going on. They don't have any idea of what capitalism is. They feel, like you pointed out in the first part of the program, all these negative things are happening to them because of the big bad people. They don't even know what Boeing is. They hardly know what the state of South Carolina is. I mean, it's just ignorance.
Manning, I think what's happened is because of that silly thing that we keep in our pocket and keep it within reach 24/7 on our phone, that we are the most distracted our society has ever been.
Sure.
So we don't do deep dives on information. We catch headlines. We catch sound bites. We watch a TikTok video that's 15 to 30 seconds long that gives us what we think is news, and it modifies the way we think.
All right, you got 10 seconds left to say something positive.
The positive thing is capitalism can work, but it needs to change, and socialism can work if you have that mindset.
His name is The Business Coach. You can catch him every Friday on WRHI, and you'll get him here quarterly on our Straight Talk program. Thank you, Russell. Always a lot of wisdom coming out of that brain of yours. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Hey, do you think it can get any louder in this place? I don't know. Let's just see how loud this place can get. All right, everybody at the count of three who's been making so much noise in here today, we're going to tell everybody what Substation 2 does 6 days a week. At the count of three, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
There you go. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.